Good morning. What a beautiful day out there, eh? Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this 20th Sunday of Pentecost will be taken from 1 John. We're going to read from 1 John, and we're going to read from chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and this is an epistle, so you can remain seated. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, reading in Jesus' name. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise and thank you for this opportunity. Father, we praise and thank you that you have sanctified us through your word. And we ask today, Father, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would do this great work continually. Glorify yourself in and through this word and allow us to know your truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Oh, I had a couple things that I wanted to talk about. Hang on, sorry, I should have done this before, but I was so hetta to get up here. That means in a hurry. But anyways, I will be gone. Judy and I will be gone out to the West Coast on the 24th. So I will be here next week. Okay, I've had a lot of people say, you're gone. No, I'm still here, see? But anyway, so I will be here on the 17th. And then we will be gone to preach on the 24th in the Tri-Cities. And then, I always say Scott, but it's Steve's up. No, Scott. Scott Sepple is preaching, right? Steve's a contractor, Scott's, yeah. But anyways, Mr. Sepple is preaching on the 24th, and then he's not here today, so Chris Morgan's preaching on the 31st. So I think that'll be very interesting to see, and I encourage you to come and support him. He is definitely a brilliant individual who's used to teaching, so I think that'll be awesome. So he was willing to do it. Anyways, and then also, post-confirmation class is going on. I just repeat it because I want people to know it's open to anyone, doesn't have an age limit, that, you know, has been confirmed and has a place they need to go. So Jeff Kangas is teaching that, and there's a few individuals that have been going, but it would be awesome to get more individuals involved. And so anyways, if you have any questions about it, find Jeff Kangas. He's in plaid today, in red plaid. But anyways, you are more than welcome to come to that. With that being said, I'm sorry for interrupting the message. I just forgot I wanted to mention those few things. So anyways, here we are. We're listening to the Word of God. We're here to be encouraged. We're here to be strengthened. And there is a very strong warning in the message that we have. And the warning, more or less, is to the aspect of, how do you know what you're listening to is the truth of God? I mean, come on. We have so many different denominations, and even in the same denomination in this country that we live in, we don't have to look throughout the world, in this country that we live in, even within the same denomination we argue. We have our little divisions, we have our little splinter groups, we have all kinds of things that are going on. And this really can distract us. But I also think that, and maybe this is my personal opinion, I should leave it out, but I think in our nation we become lazy too. We go where we go because we feel this is where we've always gone, or maybe that congregation is getting a little boring, and so maybe we're going to go find new waters and find something a little more exciting. And the reality of it is that, yes, the extra things in a congregation, they're beautiful, they're fun, they're great. We have some things in this congregation that I enjoy immensely. But the ultimate reason for the church is to proclaim the gospel of Christ Jesus, to enter into a world that is full of darkness, that is full of struggle, full of turmoil, and to live more than a conqueror in this world, and to reveal or allow God to reveal through us the love of His Spirit, the love of His Son, our Redeemer, right? The message. The importance of what we stand for as Christians is to bring the message of hope to a world. We can have all kinds of things, and I'm not saying they're wrong. We can have the best band, we can have the best praise music, we can have the best youth activities, all very important and wonderful things. But what are you listening to? That is the key when it comes to the church. What is the proclamation of the congregation? And what are we hearing? And do we listen, if we could say it this way, with a critical ear? Are we able to have conversation? Or do we become offended if somebody questions us? I get offended pretty easily. So I don't have to look at you. But can we have honest conversation about the purpose of God's church upon earth? We get caught up in so many other debates sometimes, it's not even funny. But do you know there's actually a strong understanding, and it's not a good one? I guess I'll put it this way. I have a lot of pastors that serve in different congregations, different synods, different denominations. And I remember having a very strong conversation with a good friend of mine who was going through a real difficult time in his congregation because his congregation wanted him to be involved with the other pastors of the community. And his struggle that he opened up to me was, he said, I sit in a room full of pastors and I'm actually debating with them whether or not the word is the word of God, if it's true. Are these just fables? Are they just cute stories? There is debate within our nation, and we don't have to look in the rest of the world, whether or not Christ has actually come to this earth, whether or not Christ is actually part of the Trinity, if there is such a Trinity. In other words, we can feel comfortable in our congregation, but how do we know what is being preached is the truth? Is it just because I went to 4 years of seminary and now I stand up in front of you? For you that are from this congregation, is it because Jay told me to say it? My teacher at the seminary? Does that make it accurate? Why are we here? Why do we come Sunday after Sunday? And why do we come here? Is it to listen to the beautiful music? I love it. Some Sundays it's a little more inspirational than others. And I actually have to ask myself, self, is it your attitude? Or is it actually the music? I have a feeling it has to be my attitude sometimes. Sometimes that pastor gets up there and he talks about, you know, different things that I can relate to because I am going through that struggle. But then there's other times that that pastor gets up there and I don't even know what he's talking about because I'm not going through that struggle. We have to ask ourselves, is that the attitude of the receiver? But why do we come here? We come here to worship our God, to give thanks for the greatest gift that He could ever give, that He had given His Son in our behalf, and that, yes, He came to this earth, and He came in the flesh, and He suffered, and He died, and He was resurrected, not just a myth, not a fable. And And he did it for you. And he did it for me. And he did it for the entire world. But one of the issues is they don't know it. So we come here for a proclamation of his word. John understood this. And he understood that there were a lot of different messages that were going around out there. And he brings it back to the integrity of the congregation. Don't believe everything you hear. We get so sucked up in that. We believe everything that we hear. We listen to something on the news, we believe it. We hear something that somebody else has shared with us because we love them, we believe it. And I'm not saying run around as skeptics. But what do you balance it off of? When I stand up here as a preacher of the gospel and I tell you that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, do you think I made that up? Or do you go to your scripture and do you allow the scripture to give a testimony of exactly what God did and why he did it? Because God loves you. Because he loves you, he gave his only son. That when we believe, that faith given by him to trust in that work, that we would be saved. So how much time do we spend in the word? I remember when I first started coming to church as a young man, I would hear all kinds of different messages, and we had a congregation, and I'm not making fun of them. They're a beautiful congregation whom I love. But we had, like, all kinds of pastors. Here I have difficulty finding someone to preach, and I'm thankful for Mark Antioho and different individuals that will step in when I leave. But there we had a smorgasbord. And that's how somebody described it to me. They said, whoa, this is wonderful, because we can have a smorgasbord of preachers, and you get whatever you want. Well, is that healthy? Last I knew, our God is consistent. And last I knew, he had a direct message to share, not only with the world, but with each and every one of us. And so now John comes and he says a very interesting statement. And a lot of people, they kind of picture all these little minions running around. But he says, beloved. So he's talking in a term of endearment here. He's saying, I love you. I have this desire for you to do better. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. And if you look in your scripture, this is a little S. It's not a capital S. I love how the message says it. It says, don't believe everything you hear. Just don't believe everything you hear. He says, don't believe every spirit. He says, but test it. Test it. This same word in the Greek is actually in the understanding of checking and seeing whether or not metal has its full value, whether it's gold, whether it's silver. In other words, to check out its purity. And this is what he's encouraging us with. He's not encouraging just me here. He's encouraging you. Don't just go to church on Sunday and just have some pastor get up there and tell you, well, you know, this whole thing of the ark is kind of crazy. And really, could there really be a whale big enough to swallow a man or a fish big enough to swallow a man? And can really Jesus walk on water? I mean, that is, you know, I guess if it's the middle of January up in the UP, he could do that. We try to rationalize God according to our understanding instead of understanding the fact that he who has created everything out of nothing can do such great wonders. We take the mystery of the scripture away when we try to rationalize it in our mind. We are the children of faith. We are not the children of, I want to say, reason. And that sounds bad because that makes it sound like we're foolish. I think it was Luther himself, not that I like to quote Luther all the time, but the fact of it is he says, you know, you can dress up a pig, but it's still a pig. You can dress up your reason. You can have all kinds of things for reason, but it doesn't change the word of God. Too many times we think we can detect what the Word of God says. He says, test the spirits. And he's talking here directly of people that are preaching. This puts a lot of scrutiny on, doesn't it? Now you're all looking at me. There's, 125 to 135 people here, and they're all looking at me saying, well, now we got to check out and see what you're saying. Is it true? I hope you do. I do. And I hope that if you find me getting up here saying some kind of crazy babble, that first of all, you can bring it to me in all honesty and correct me. But then also you can offer grace. Because we are but human. But he says, you have a due diligence to be sure what you are receiving is the truth. He says, test the spirits and to see whether they are from God. Is this message directly from God? Or is this man's opinion? And he goes, there's a reason I'm telling you this. There's many false prophets that have gone out into the world. There's many that are proclaiming all kinds of different ideas and all kinds of different understandings. We don't have that going on, do we? You know, it's kind of crazy because one of the words you hear a lot in our day and age is, well, I'm not a churchgoer. I wouldn't say I'm a Christian, but I'm spiritual. What's that? You want my opinion? And it's just my opinion. Being spiritual means you're going according to your emotions. According to what you feel. So let's go down that road for a moment. This morning when you got up and you knew maybe as a Sunday school teacher or maybe as a parishioner got to go work in the kitchen or maybe you got to go work in the office or maybe you got to teach Bible study or you got to listen to your husband preach. I don't know which one it is. You have a different position. Everybody does, right? Did you really feel like coming here today and just, whoo, I can't wait to come here? Maybe you did. Praise God. But maybe last week you didn't. Maybe this week you're a little more enthused. You're a little more pumped up about it. You feel the blessings of God. Maybe something has worked in your life that you're like, oh, I'm so thankful. I was kind of crotchety yesterday. I was kind of trying to debate things in my mind. Woke up this morning. Walked around my driveway a few times. Honestly, had a feeling of thankfulness in my heart for what God has blessed me with. Did. But those are our emotions also. And that to me is spirituality. When we feel something, then it's got to be real. Well, let me ask you a question. What happens when you don't feel it? See, God is consistent. It's not about our feelings. It's about his love for us. There's going to be times we're going to feel like we can climb any mountain, and there's some days that we don't even want to get out of bed. But it doesn't change the consistency of our God. So you turn around and you read what he's saying here. He says, there's many different people that are going to tell you many different things. And if you don't know your, I hate to use the word manual, but if you don't know your manual, then how do you know that it's true? If I was to stand up here and tell you the compassionate thing, there's a lot of good people in this world. And God created everybody. And there's all kinds of different religions, but every path leads to God. Doesn't that sound nice? It really does. It sounds nice. Is it true? There's some truth in it. See, that's what the adversary does. God did create everybody. God does love everybody. And God desires for man to repent, to turn, and to see Christ Jesus. Because Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door. No man comes to the Father but through me. How would you know that if you don't read your scripture? How would you know that if someone stands up in your pulpit and says, oh, one of my favorite lines I've shared with you before. I love this when people, I don't love it, but it's just like, it doesn't make sense. I believe they're Christians. They just have a what? A different spirit. Huh? How does that work? How does an individual have, is there like two different kinds of spirit to get you to heaven? People say, well, you're being pretty narrow-minded. Actually, I'm not. The scripture says very plainly, narrow is the path to salvation and broad is the way to destruction. See, that's an interesting thing. Every path leads where? In my opinion, to destruction. The only path to heaven is through Christ Jesus and Him alone. But the beautiful part of it is who can go through that door. It may be narrow, but who can go through it? All who believe. It's not closed to anybody. I think that door is narrow for me in one way. Because see, I could fit a lot of junk through that door right there. I could carry my works. I could carry all kinds of baggage. That, look at what I did, Lord. No, that's not how it is. It is solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So he says very plainly, don't listen to everyone. He says, there are many false prophets that have gone out into this world. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. By this you know. He says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And so he's talking about this understanding of incarnate, God incarnate with man. And he's talking very straightforward that he has come to this earth to do this great redemptive work, that it's not by any other means, not by any other way. It's not something that human beings can take control of. He says, this in reality is how you test the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly in the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who in reality refuses this faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. It's an impossibility. It kind of deletes that many paths, doesn't it? But we're a sensitive nature of people and we don't want to offend anybody. So we'd rather them just not know the truth so we don't hurt them. I'm not saying that you don't do this in love. But you encourage, in reality, the preaching of the gospel to be very powerful in the understanding of God for us. God for us. How many times would we find a different path? How many times would we look into this world and find people working for a righteousness? Oh, there's fruits of a Christian, but it's not because we did it. It's because of who we are, therefore the fruit comes out. Well, it sounds like you're being pretty exclusive. No, I'm not. But Scripture is. For we all have failed. We all have come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God, through Christ Jesus, He has redeemed us. Sometimes we'd rather ruin people with praise than correct them with criticism. We'd rather have them not be offended and believe in the fallacy than to tell them the truth, that we of ourselves are undone. And God saw us right where we are, and He loves us so much that He gave His only Son for us, that we could trust in His work, and that we could live in eternity with Him. It doesn't say He just loved you. It says, for God so loved the world. That is not exclusive. That is inclusive. And He says very plainly, He says, these are the ones that can confess in that fashion. He says, every spirit that reality doesn't confess this, small s again, He says very plainly, every individual that does not confess this is not from God. He says, this is the spirit of Antichrist. And this is an amazing thing for us. We oftentimes have a tendency to think Antichrist means the opposite of. That's not what it means. As my father-in-law from the East Coast would say with pitchfork and horns, Satan comes in many forms. He's got a real New England accent. But the point is, that's how we picture Antichrist, to come out and look like the total opposite of this beautiful image we have of Jesus. Really what it means is a replacement of. Our own religion, man-made religion, can be Antichrist, a replacement of. That we are relying on something other than Christ Jesus as our redemptive work. It could be in our groups. It could be our confessions, if we confessed enough. It could be the way we receive forgiveness. It could be how many times we go to church. It could be how many times we pray. All beautiful things, all wonderful gifts to the church. But it is not salvation of itself. Christ Jesus is that salvation. It's not because we had the biggest praise group. It's not because we had the biggest mission group. It's not because we've done all these things. Those are gifts that God allows us to have. But the salvation is founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ, and there is nothing that atones for me outside of that. I've had my antichrists in my life. The replacement of. I know I have. God has called me to turn from those, and I'm probably going to have to turn again. In other words, I'm not in heaven yet. I'm still experiencing this thorn in my flesh here. But Antichrist is not just the opposite of. He says this is the spirit, the working of Antichrist. That's more what this would mean. He says what you heard was coming. So you've been waiting for the spirit of Antichrist. He says, I'm telling you right now, it's here. It's here now. In fact, in another part of this same writer, he turns around and he says, and he comes out from amongst you. We're always looking for him to come in. He comes from amongst you. Anything that can replace the redemptive work of Christ in our lives is that spirit of Antichrist. He says, you've heard it was coming, and now it already is. Little children, he says, I'm encouraging you here. I know you're from God. I know you are. He says, little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, these adversaries, these false teachers, all these things. He says, because we understand this, he that is in you is greater than he that is in this world. This is another point to remember. There's an adversary out there. He's out there roaring as a lion, trying to deceive, trying to get people to set up their false idols and things like that. They're Antichrist. Maybe it's seven steps to heaven. Maybe it's the right way you get in the door. I don't know what it is. I think for each and every one of us, it can be different. But it is Christ Jesus and him alone. It's like how we speak about coming to the cross. We come to the cross empty-handed. There's nothing that we can bring. And as Bonhoeffer says, we stand silent before that cross because there's nothing that I can offer. It is fully what he has done for me, what he has done for you. We have gifts, we have abilities, and those things are wonderful. They ought to offer in one way. They may have a lot of beauty. They may have a lot of imagery. They may have a lot of wonderful things for us to have in memory. But they are not salvation. The church needs to get back to the heart of what salvation is, God for us. And in the power of his spirit that he gives, then we operate in this world. Then we leave our services, and we're not done till next Sunday. We open our scripture. And we find out, is this pastor crazy and should we replace him? Or maybe he's a little off here and we should talk to him. Or how do you love this statement? Well, I've heard this one a lot. You know, I don't really agree with everything he says. I'm not saying this about me because you all agree. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is, have we heard this statement before? Well, I've heard that guy and I don't agree with everything he says, but I just take what I like. What's that? We need to study and we need to show ourselves really in reality the truth of God's scripture. In other words, allow his spirit to work. Yes, he gives us faith. Yes, he gives us the power of his spirit. But what are we feeding it? He says, you have overcome because he is greater than he is in the world. He said, but those individuals, he says, that are from the world, he says they speak just like the rest of the world. And if you listen to a lot of our churches in this nation, a lot of them are speaking more like you can't even tell the difference between the world or the church. Truth is being blended. He said, but we are from God. He says, and whoever knows God listens in reality to us. Not that now John is saying, I have all the answers. He is saying that he is preaching the word. He is speaking from the word. And our answers come from not men, but the word. He says, but whoever is not from God, it's foreign to them. We get so angry sometimes when we enter into this world and we try to have conversation with people and we feel like, well, they're not getting it. Well, until they understand Christ, until they have the power of the Spirit in their lives, until they have that faith, they aren't going to understand it. Well, then what do? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of Jesse. That's my name. Is that what the scripture says? Somebody shake their head no. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say in the name of Luther. It doesn't say in Rathama. It doesn't say in any pope. It doesn't say that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. The word of God. How do you test the spirits? You be involved with the power of the word of God. We live in an amazing time. We do. We live in an amazing time. I would say 90% of you have a cell phone in your pocket or in your purse. I bet I'm right. You can listen to the word of God on that thing. What do we choose? Do we switch on Dave Ramsey? I've been listening to him for years and I'm still broke. Do we turn on our music, which I'm not saying is wrong, but we have an opportunity to be empowered by the power of God, through the Spirit of God, by the power of his word. We have it on our cell phones, we have it on our computers, we have it in written form. We are blessed. If you don't understand it in King James, you have the Message, you have NIV, you have all kinds of different ones, ESV, CSB, there's all kinds of them. And we stand sometimes like, I don't want anybody reading but this one. Read the word. Read it in a fashion that you can understand it. And when you start getting a better grasp of it, you might actually go into a more difficult translation because you have a better grasp. When you're as children, you drink milk, right? But when you become adults, you eat meat. But you have to start. Don't think I'm just preaching to you. When I get discouraged, the first thing I have to remind myself, and God does by his Spirit, Jesse, you have the cell phone. It's not just for checking out Facebook. It's not just for TikToks. And I like TikTok. But you can listen to the word to give you encouragement. Test the spirits. And the word will testify to the truth. Read your scripture. You're going to have some wonderful men coming up here to preach in the next few weeks. And they're not going to always be perfect. They haven't been in it, evolved a lot. But the fact of it is the way that they're going to prepare for their message is reading the word. And you have that opportunity too. For God has blessed us so immensely. He says very straightforward, by this we know the spirit of truth and also the spirit of error. How are we going to know the spirit of truth? Through God's word, by the power of his Holy Spirit. And how will we know when people are in error? Not my opinion. My opinion can be wrong. It's like I told you one time when one lady got all upset at me because she told me that church is wrong because they have communion more than once a month. Well, actually, scripture says it as oft as you gather. And I had to ask her, do you know why we only have it once a month? Well, because that's the way it is. No, that's a tradition. Because we only had so many pastors at one time, the pastor would go one church on first Sunday, next church on second Sunday, next church on third Sunday, fourth Sunday. You get the point. But it's not wrong. Read your word. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. So we got a communion song first. And then after that, we will have communion.